wasn't ready to be no millionaire. I was ill prepared. I was prepared to be ill, though the skill was there. In the beginning, it wasn't about the ends. It was about busting raps and standing for something. Fucking acronym, cut the fucking act like you.
Check, check, check. Yo, yo, yo. Is this on? Is this on? My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Yes, guys, gals. It's that time again every single week. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show! How's it going, Carolyn?
Whoa, my earbuds have been cleaned out.
That's right. Cleaning the earbuds with the vocals. That's what we do. I'm Joe Carabeo. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a photographer. I'm a writer. Whatever you want. And across from me is Carolyn Belevsky. She is...
Why did you pronounce my name like a southerner?
Carolyn Blaise.
What's up with that?
You are a cartoonist, illustrator, graphic designer, art director, everything in the whole entire world. This is our show. We bring it to you. We give our little piece of the world, and we share it to you on a plate, a podcast plate. This is your outlet to our life, or our outlet to your life, our doorway, our window, whatever you want to call it. But... this is the Carolyn Joe Show. Thank you for listening. How you doing, Carolyn?
Doing pretty good. It is now March, so I'm like, where did the time go?
The time. Time doesn't even exist.
The time is now.
The time does not even exist. That's how I think about it now. The only thing that exists is just progress and work. I don't know.
Things are still going to keep moving.
Yeah, things do keep moving.
So that's the thing, though. It's already like... like, even in the last episode, I couldn't believe that it was approaching, you know, 1/6 of the year is already done. Feels really quick.
Extremely quick. And, you know, might be scary. It's weird how it always feels like March, because now we're, like, in the beginning of March, you know? And it's really, like, the gut check month of the year to make you realize, oh, yeah, 2014, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you get those two warm-up months, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, I guess we're really doing this.
I think March always gets like the last shtick or whatever. What is it called? The short end of the stick?
March gets the short end of the stick? Why is that?
A little bit, because, like, what do they have going on St. Patrick's Day? So, I mean, that's a pretty cool holiday.
Yeah,
but
why not?
It's also, I guess...
it's usually what, people drink and they celebrate St. Patrick?
Yeah.
Is that a drinking holiday for some?
Yes, it is. But, yeah, I like to celebrate the leprechauns on that day.
Yeah.
But, I got the gold! But what I'm getting at, though, is also March has been, I guess, documented as the most divorces appear in March.
Oh, really? Why is that?
I mean, my theory behind it is that it's like you have a new year, you have New Year's resolutions. Like, let's say if you're a couple that's already on the brink a little bit. You know, like, I'm assuming most people kind of know things are going bad, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're, like, all into the new year. They might have resolution. They're going to be like, I'm going to save my marriage or whatever and save my relationship.
My resolution this year is to save my marriage.
And then Valentine's Day comes, and then usually one or more people are probably disappointed. And then a whole another month goes by, and then they're just like, let's get divorced.
You know what? This isn't working out. This isn't working out.
But if you think about it...
I'd like my personal trainer. He reshaped me.
If you think about it, it makes sense.
That's how they all talk, too. I don't understand how girls started to talk like that. But that seems to be a thing.
Who started it?
I don't know. When they're all just, ah. It's like that high pitch. Yeah.
Well, there's a thing,
such a thing called a
vocal fry.
One. Carolyn's News.
Yeah. It's Carolyn's News. I'm hijacking this show. It's finally mine. Yes, Carolyn News is here. So this coming Saturday is actually March 8th, just so y'all know. And the first ever Smudge Comic Arts Expo is going to be taking place this Saturday from noon to 6 at Artisphere in Arlington, Virginia. Guess what? It's free to show up. It's awesome. I'm excited because they have fun events planned for family, all types of kids activities as well. So bring everyone. Bring everyone. Bring your friends. Bring your family. Bring your sons. Bring your daughters. Bring your moms. Bring your dads. Bring your grandparents. Bring them all to Smudge. and Curl Studio will be there. I will be there. It's pretty exciting. Again, this is at Artisphere, 1101 Wilson Boulevard in Arlington, Virginia. And free parking. Pretty excited about that. And it's also 2 blocks from the Roslyn Metro, so right there, public transportation, 2 blocks away, man. You could not beat that. It's pretty amazing. And there's gonna be like around 50 local artists. So I think the talented people are gonna be there. It's gonna be pretty exciting. And also, I have some more stuff to announce with the tour, but we'll hold off on some of that. But I just wanted to let you all know in April 18th through 20th is AwesomeCon. Again, we have been promoting AwesomeCon pretty heavily because Joe from Astray Productions actually produced and directed their commercial. So that's pretty exciting. And people have been seeing it on air during The Walking Dead. And also, I think it's going to be on during a lot of Cartoon Network shows. So that is very exciting that it's getting that exposure.
Here it's also going to be on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Awesome. So
on
again,
on ABC.
That's April 18th through 20th, and Joe and I will together be at AwesomeCon. I'm really excited about that. Also, I don't have all the information in front of me, but I thought I'd just announce it out there, is that we are doing another Cartoonist Draw Blood Drive. This is put on by myself with the National Cartoonist Society, and also this year, for the second one that we are doing, Troy Jeffrey Allen is going to be helping me with that. Some of you may know him from BAM. It's pretty exciting that he is going to help us out and organize this event, because it takes more than one person to really make a successful event. So yeah, we're working with the American Red Cross. This is going to be on the last day of May this year. I think it's May 31st, which is a Saturday. And we are at Seekers Church near Tacoma Park in Washington, D.C. And yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting. And what happens is basically you sign up for a time slot to give blood. And it takes about 10 minutes. It's not that bad. Joe and I did it last year, and I can verify it wasn't that bad at all. Like, I wasn't terrified going into it, but I thought, like, you know, this is my first time giving blood. So I was like, oh, what's going to happen? But it wasn't bad at all. It was actually somewhat delightful. And
somewhat delightful.
Yeah, man, like it was. I felt good afterwards. I was like, whoa, my blood is going to someone. But yeah, like it turned out last year, they told us that we saved up to 90 lives, like throughout the whole day. So that's pretty amazing if you think about just our little effort.
Saving lives, man.
Just like put on by little old me. But yeah, like we have cartoonists there that are really awesome. And what's going to happen is, you know, you give your blood and then you get to meet the cartoonists and someone can draw you something. You get like free sketches from awesome cartoonists in the DC area who will showcase their talent for you. And also one of my friends, Elizabeth, she was there and she had this awesome dog drawn for her and she has it framed up in her apartment. It's pretty awesome. Like your art can be on the walls and all that. I saw a lot of really cool drawings last year. So it gives good incentive for you to donate blood. Because usually when you donate blood, you don't get anything. Or you get like a sticker that's like, I donated blood, you know? So, or you might get like a cookie or something. But I don't know, like it just feels good to like...
Do something
with artists. And
it's tough because sometimes artists is a selfish thing, you know what I mean? You're doing it for your own sake, but it's always good to be able to make something that has some sort of motivation and cause behind it.
Yeah, and I love making people smile too, because it's like, people need that excitement to get involved in like visuals, you know? Because I'm more of a visual person, so like when I see really cool, stunning images, it makes me happy, like inside. Yeah. Makes me all warm and good. But yeah, like, I mean, I thought the first one that we did for Cartoonist Draw Blood last year was really pretty good for the first try. I mean, like I said, we saved up to 90 people's lives.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
How many people can save 90 lives, you know?
Superman.
Not even Superman.
But I mean, like, I think that's pretty amazing, and we had a great bunch of artists. You can check out my blog from that. That was probably written last fall, because I think the event was in November. So yeah. Go back to November of 2013 at curls-studio.com, and you will find all the info about what happened last year. But yeah, definitely consider donating your blood. And again, that's May 31st. Definitely consider doing it, because you'll feel good about yourself, and you'll get some artwork. It's pretty amazing. Good stuff.
And that's all that really matters, you know. You're giving back, and you get something back in return.
Yeah. Cartoonist draw blood. Woo! You'll be hearing more from me about it. But yeah, we're getting there. There's a lot of, like, logistics stuff that goes on to putting an event that I guess people might not realize. I mean, I don't know. Growing up, I guess if you're just going to events and stuff, you think that it just drops, like, out of the sky or something.
Yeah.
You know? Until you put on your own event, you don't really realize, like, how much work goes into stuff. Even if it's, you know, it doesn't have to be, like, a big-ass Lollapalooza or something like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I know New York Comic Con, I'm not involved with planning that whole show, but I know, like, they have a whole team of people planning that show.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just, like, obviously one person. But, like, you know, something like Cartoonist Draw Blood, like, last year, it was pretty much me doing that and promoting it, and we did have a handful of artists. I think we had, like, eight or nine artists.
This is, you know, Cartoonist Draw Blood, right?
Yeah, it's called Cartoonist Draw Blood, and, we had like 8 or 9 artists, and they're all really amazing, and they volunteered their time like that day. And they did also help promote the show through social media. But at the same time, you know, it is pretty much like me contacting the media, me, you know, scheduling everyone's appointments. And there are like 2 people for every 15 minutes for most of the day.
Yeah.
So that's... I know it actually in my head it's like, oh, I could do that because I have done that, but it's pretty hard to like do some of the logistics stuff. Also, like, you know, I guess on top of a full time job and other jobs. So
oh yeah,
it's not like
it really is a charitable, like, amount of donated time.
Yeah,
you know?
There's some time put into it, and also on top of it, now I feel like things are running so much more smoothly because we have a venue and we are directly working with the Red Cross. But when I first started this event, it was crazy because I had to call, like, I wanted to do this event, and I called the Red Cross so many times. I can't even, like, tell you. I should have kept a log and, like, tracked everything. I might even do that in the future going ahead with any other type of planning. But it's amazing, though, because, like, I remember I talked with probably 4 or 5 people that were trying to help work with me, but I always got passed on to someone else. And a couple times, I guess somebody left for another job.
Yeah.
And so then, like, it just kind of fell. They're like, oh, she already left for another job. And I'm like, what?
It's like, what's the turnaround
just,
on,
like,
these people?
Fell. Yeah, and, like, so many... Like, I'm just saying, I put in, like... It was almost like tracking down, like, a hunter or something. You know, like, I was, like, hunting for, like... to find someone to work with me on this. But luckily, it all fell in, and we're working with this lady named Ashley. And, yeah, like, everything seems to be going pretty smoothly. But, yeah, like, I guess once you get in, they want you to do, like, 2 a year.
Once you get into the Red Cross circle.
Yeah, to the Red Cross circle. But
that's the one circle. You're in the Red Cross circle. Now the next one's the Apatow circle to get into.
Oh, yeah, yes. That'd be awesome. But yeah, like, I think it's great that so many people actually did become involved in this event. So yeah, like, it will only grow from here. But yeah, like I said, once we got the venue that agreed to do this, and luckily we're, like, the venue is provided for free, which is amazing, because
yeah,
a lot of places wanted me to pay whatever, like, $300 for, like, a free event where, like, people are donating blood. And even actually some of the, you know how getting venues are in DC are crazy.
Yeah.
And some of them I think wanted more money than that. But it's like, I don't really, not that I'm not committed to the project, but I just really feel like it's unnecessary for me to pay like $300 out of my own pocket to run this event.
Yeah.
Just so I could have a venue space. But then I was like thinking about it. I was like, well, maybe we can make it happen. Maybe we like charge the artist to like draw it, and then we'll all put in a pool and like we'll all donate whatever, like $25 or something. And then I'm like, I don't want to have people like paying to like volunteer and spend their day.
Yeah.
It's like unnecessary. But luckily we did find an awesome venue that is working with us, and it's all like committed to like making sure it goes to a good cause too. So I think it's pretty amazing, like all of that work put into it. It feels like really much more easier this year. But yeah, I guess it is kind of exhausting though.
Oh, like putting together anything really. It's energy, you know? Putting the energy to create anything is energy.
I think it does help, like, year after year. Like, you notice, like, these shows, like, a lot of, like, especially the comic shows are put on by people that own the shops now. Like, Baltimore is like that, and Heroes Con is like that.
Yeah.
And it seems like a lot of work, but also they do have a team of a couple people, and it seems like it gets easier every year for them, you know?
Well, I guess you get sort of in the flow. I mean, it becomes...
And people, want to come and, like, you know, they want to be a part of
it. It's just like with any show. When I was putting together Project Resolution, the first couple, you know, like the monthly film festival in Richmond, it's... In the beginning, it was a challenge because you really didn't know the format. You know what I mean? And once the format comes together, then everything, you know, you just follow your format and you put the energy into it. But, like, when you're first trying it out, there's that uncertainty that you run into, that you're like, I don't know, is this going to work, or is people going to show up? You know what I mean? The people showing up is always the fear of, like, if people are going to show up at all. And it becomes a sequence of events that you get used to doing. You know, as long as it's success and you're not taking a loss or any stuff like that, it's like, why not just keep doing it?
Yeah. I mean, like, I know it's not necessarily about money, but I would not want to take, like, a couple $100 loss to put on, like, a free volunteer event where you're, like, saving people's lives. You know, like, I mean, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, of course, people will be like, well, it's charity. You should be doing this for donating. But also at the end of the day, it's like, you know, there's charity and then there's also, like, stupidity at the same time. But it's also, like, where you're putting your time into it.
But then, like, venue just ends up getting, like, $500. They're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I earned $500 because I was, like, doing a blood drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, but whatever. I mean, everybody has different needs, I guess. But yeah.
As long as people are getting what they feel they deserve in return. You know, you're doing a charity. Maybe sometimes the payment is, like, oh, the joy of finding out you get to help all these people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or there's other ways, you know, getting the voice out or promotion. I don't think people should be leaving. Whenever people do anything, I believe people should not be leaving, like, empty-handed. Like, if say you donate time to help make a film, you should leave with, like, either a good... And this is, like, maybe a non-paying gig, and you do it pro bono, you should be, one, getting a great experience, you know, learning, but you should be getting something out of it. And if you don't get anything out of it, then you really were gypped, you know, out of any process, really.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at, I think, life in general.
Yeah, like, it's not all about just getting paid money, but it's getting paid with something.
Well, it's like getting, little
compensated
things.
With something.
You want to, like, go into a store because you're looking for broccoli, and luckily they have broccoli, and then you can buy it and, like, leave the store and, like, you feel like you did something.
Yeah.
Like, little things like that are wins.
Yeah.
Winning at life.
Yeah.
Yes.
As long as you get something, like, in return.
Well, you know, or even, like, what if you go to a store and they're, like, out of whatever you're looking for? Like, that always feels like a loss.
Yeah. Waste of time. Wasting of time is usually the worst thing I think someone can go through.
Unless you end up, like, finding something else better or, like, something that is equal compensate, you know, for that. So let's say they don't have broccoli, but you're like, oh, well, they have cauliflower. This is Lou.
Yeah.
but I guess you suffer a minor loss, but at least it's not, like, total loss.
You walked away with something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the worst when you have nothing to walk away on.
Yeah, that's when it literally becomes a waste of time. And that's what we've spoken to many times on this show, that my biggest pet peeve is wasting time. You know what I mean? It's like I hate when you watch, like, a TV show and you're like, and you get to the end, you're like, that was a waste of time. You know what I mean? Like, or watch a movie, that was a waste of time. Or specifically for me, hanging out with people and realizing, wow, that was a waste of time. I really despise that a lot. Like, wow, I got nothing out of this. And it sucks to admit it, but sometimes you do feel that, like, wasting time with friends or supposed friends, and you get to that point where you're like, man, what are we doing? You're not doing anything. And maybe that's just me, I guess, growing up, but like, I really don't like just doing nothing with a group of friends or just hanging out or something like that. Is that seem obnoxious?
What is your ideal date with friends?
A date with friends?
Yes.
An ideal date with friends?
Time spent with friends.
Like actually getting something accomplished?
Yeah, what is your ideal
This is the moment I actually hate when supposedly hanging out with friends or people or something like that. When, say you've already done like the activity, you know, like, oh, let's go get a meal. Then after the meal, you're like, you know, like, what do we do now? You know, and you're like, I guess let's go, let's watch something and, you know, then talk. And you know what I mean? There's that moment afterwards, like, I guess we're just going to sit here and hang out. I actually don't like that. I'm not saying I despise it. I'm not saying it's something that like I really like, but like I feel like majority of the time you're just waiting for like the night to end. And it's weird because like I feel like after I've hung out with someone or after we've done like the activity, there's that point of like, oh, let's catch up. But then if there's no really catching up, maybe it's just me almost being a workaholic, but it's just like I'm in my head, I'm like, well, what can we do? It's like, oh, I'm always like, want to play music, let's do this, but I don't want to just sit here. And like, it's cool to watch something, but it's also like, if I've already seen it, you know what I mean, it's sort of just like, now I'm going through the motions again. I don't know if this sounds really pompous or not, but I like having still some sort of progress. So
I think it's funny, I don't know what like, it is. The past couple weeks I know Joe has had like so many people over at his place, and he keeps showing This Is the End with Seth Rogen.
I know there's
and Jerry Burschel.
I swear there's like a week
Jay Burschel.
There was a week where I just kept on watching because great.
You would like people would be over and you'd be like, hey man, have you seen This Is the End? And then like
because that's what happens. Like when you get to that point where you
basically showed that to like four people.
Yeah, but when I get to the point where I'm now a host, so I gotta like entertain them. It's like, okay, I guess I'm willing to take that bullet to be like, all right, I already watched it, but here this seems like a fun movie to watch, because no one's gonna sit there and want to be like, hey Joe, let's watch Gravity. You know what I mean? Or like, let's watch this.
That definitely
film.
Is a good friend movie to watch.
Yeah, it's definitely. But yeah, there was a week where I literally showed that to like four different people, and like it's funny because like even when I watched it by myself, I couldn't finish it. Like I didn't like the movie. It was just like I kept on being interrupted. So in a way, it was that sort of that equinox of life. Of like, oh, you really wanted to finish it that time. How about watching the whole thing five times in a row now with friends?
Or maybe you should have suggested different movies.
It's tough because you know that's a hit. You know what that crowd's gonna be a hit.
It's a hit. The hits are here.
And that's always a challenge.
Actually,
but like,
that
it's
movie
not,
gets
that
better the more I watch it.
But it's not a waste of time. But I'm it's always fun and amazing to hang out with friends and do stuff like that. And like the friends I did that with were great people. But then there's that sort of segment with other people where you just sort of, you know, you don't want to be the one that's like, all right, I guess that's the end of the night. You know what I mean? Have you ever had that where you're hanging out with people and then like back of your head you're like, I really want to like start working on my photo project right now, but I guess I'll keep on entertaining you.
I feel like you can't do that when you're like the host.
You can't do that.
It's always like really weird to have people over at your place.
I mean, you can do that, but it's sort of not proper to do that.
I feel like you can do that only if it's past like away certain time. If like,
you're
let's like, say
oh,
it's like,
man, this is 10
like
o'clock.
Two or three, or maybe even like because we've had people here past 10.
It's funny to see what the most interesting part is. Really finding out a way how to end like a night. Like we've had people like, oh, I got work, or you know what I mean, there's always like it's always like a question or a comment and before they have to go, and I'm really interested. Maybe I go through this because it's almost like my mental research, my writing research, to see how like it's like this human experiment to see how far they go, to see like, oh, when's he gonna like leave. And like I remember like having people over for like until like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, man, it's like, this guy's never going to leave. What is it going to take? You know what I mean? Like, already drank ten beers now.
I feel like when it's 3 in the morning, I think the host does have the opportunity to be like, hey, man, I'm really tired. I'm going to try to get some sleep.
But see, I don't know, it's just me.
But I feel like the host kind of can't really say anything, I guess, maybe like before 11.
Especially
if you're having a party.
All that stuff is like, you know, a subvertive thing, but it's the host can say anything. The host can be like, all right, guys, you guys get out. But it's, you know what I mean?
It's one of those things that, though, that's like, in a way, people should kind of know when to make the, like, mass exit. And I feel like there is a time at several parties I've been to where it's like, everyone's having a good time. Like, maybe a couple people leave early, but then, like, there's a whole bunch of people that still want to hang out. But then there's a time where, like, one person just kind of breaks the ice and they're just like, hey, man, I'm going to leave. See you guys next time.
That's my
and then, most... like, and then, like, after they leave, then, like, 5 minutes later, everyone has gone.
That's what I always see that. And you know for a fucking plain fact that everyone is waiting. It's just like...
They're waiting for that one person.
It's just like that. It's just like when people ask, like, a whole group, hey, where do you want to go to eat? Like, everyone's like, I don't know. What are you into? It takes that one person to take the first step for everyone to get their opinion out. You know what I mean? Not like everyone's there. Someone's like, I want to get pizza. No, fuck pizza. Let's go get Italian. I mean, pizza is Italian, motherfucker. No. It takes that one person to step up. It, just like in life, it takes that one trailblazer to get the you know, to plow through the trail. But it's also, it's the same way with the ending. It's like, you have to wait for that one person to be like, oh, man. Oh, shoot. I gotta go clean my ties. I'll catch you later, man. Then but they don't wait till that moment. They wait till like, until that person's like 80% out the door, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh man, I gotta go too, dude. Oh, it's a great part. You know, then everyone's like that. Everyone's just waiting for that door to get open first.
Yeah.
And then like all of a sudden the host is like, oh. But then like, what if that host is like not ready for everyone to leave? You still wouldn't have a good time. And it's like, oh, everyone's leaving. All right. And then it's that dead quiet.
Yeah. Or what about at parties where there's always, like, one person that comes a lot earlier before everyone else? So then you have to, like, entertain this, like, one person, but yet you're probably still, like, halfway getting ready for your party.
And they're just watching you?
Yeah. That's kind of awkward.
It is awkward. Any of that stuff. Being a host is awkward. It's a thankless job. A host, or just like putting on a show, is a thankless job because it's just people, everyone else just has to show up and have a good time.
Yeah.
But then this person's busting their ass and, you know, making sure it looks like magic.
I still haven't made this comic strip, but I kind of want to do one like this that basically like has, you know, like the good thing about hosting a party is that I can clean my house. And then like the party happens and then everything's all effed up. And then it's like, well, the bad thing about hosting a party is I have to clean this house.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much like how I envision hosting.
It pretty much is.
You know what is crazy, though? Like, I guess, you know, now that we are like so-called adults, grown-ups.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, we can't really...
I'm a dictator, so...
We can't call ourselves like teenagers anymore. Well,
number-wise, we're clearly not teenagers.
Well, I feel like when you're a teenager, you know, you can hang out, whatever... As long as you, I guess, your parents allow. Because
teenagers really have no responsibilities.
Whoa.
Oh, the paper fell down.
on the wall. Anyway, so, the studio's crumbling as we speak. But yeah, like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, I remember, you know, when we were younger, like, I remember James being at, like, some parking lot with a remote control, like, Tonka truck or something.
That wasn't even when we were teenagers, Carolyn.
When was that?
That was, like, when we were, like 27.
Are you serious?
That was before he... That was actually, like, 3 months before he left to go to Iraq.
Okay, so I remember, like, that time. We were still teenagers then, man. I feel like it. But, like, okay, I'm just pulling this memory out of a hat because... I'm not saying, like, I was necessarily bored or anything, but when I look back on, like, how I spend my time with friends, that seems to be one of those moments where, like, I'm not really actually doing anything, you know? But we were having a fun time.
No, but see, that's that situation, it didn't really seem like a waste of time because that was an activity. But it wasn't,
it's not like, hey, man, let's hang out and, like, drive little cars like, on remote control empty parking lot.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about was like, that type of hanging out that I truly dislike is, like, when you know people are just, like, sitting around not really doing anything, not doing anything active. Because you can play video games and you can be into winning the game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
At least that one, you're outside and you're trying to destroy trucks. You know, but, like, there's another layer of just, like, just lounging around and being like, yeah, yeah, all right. You know, just talking. I don't know. Maybe talking. That's like what we do on a radio show. Maybe that's why how I have this podcast. I can't even just have a talk. I have to make it into a show. Maybe it's a dilemma or a problem I have.
Maybe you have a problem, Joe.
I just got to keep making shows.
Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I love problems. I love solving problems.
But I guess, but what I'm getting at is, like, I always think about, like, when you're in high school or you're younger, like, you see your friends all the time. Like, in, you know, in high school, you have your locker break every hour or whatever. How long was our classes?
I don't remember.
I don't even remember. But, like, let's say every hour you got to see your friends and, like, gossip and then, like, talk about whatever.
Gossip.
You know, and I don't even know what I even talked about in high school, but, you know, like, you might be like, oh, that guy's
same
over
thing,
there.
Same thing high school, what all high schoolers talk about, right?
But yeah.
MTV Jams.
MTV Jams. But yeah, so, like, you got to see your friends all the time, like, several times throughout the whole day and eat lunch with them. You got to see them, like, 12 times a day and then hang out with them after school and, like, be in a club with them and stuff. You got to actually truly build relationships and, like, nurture and have the time to build relationships, right?
Yeah.
And then now as, like, an adult, I really feel like I don't have even the time to even nurture, like, a relationship, you know? And it's amazing, though, because it's, like, and it's not just me. I know everyone else is working, or, like, also in the DC area, everyone is, like, separated. Because there's, like, people that I'm close with that it will take me, like, an hour and a half to get to them. Or even 2 hours. Not like that's a long, you know, thing. I could probably do that on a weekend. But on a weeknight, it's like by the time you get to them and have dinner and stuff, it's like super late. Then by the time you have a dinner and you end up coming home at like 10 o'clock and like you haven't even been home yet. You haven't got to like, you know, feed if you have any pets or you haven't got to like go to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like it's 10 o'clock and then like I don't know. It's just too late. Like as an adult, as a working adult, and then you got to go to work the next morning. It's it's a lot, you know. And I don't know. And also, like,
but at
the only
time,
people you see are like your coworkers, and like my coworkers are pretty good, so I can't complain about that. But it's not like I hang out with them. You know, you're not gonna like
because you're with them all day long.
Yeah,
what are you gonna do? Do the
but
same
like
thing?
I'm with them all day long, but it's not like a friendship like environment. You know what I mean?
It's like, more like a partnership or like
yeah.
a. Like a, you know, like a work environment, really.
Yeah, like a work team effort thing.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, they're friendly, but they're not, like, my friends. So, like, I guess what I'm getting at is, like, how do you even have, like, a friendship relationship? Because, like, in high school and college, I feel like you have those opportunities to build relationships. But as an adult, you don't really have that. And also, if you're...
But at the same time, you think about it, you sort of lose those relationships the further time goes. It's almost like if you think about it, like a school relationship in a way is as similar as a work relationship because you're put into the same situation. You like you go to school every day and then you go to classes, so you sort of are forced to see these people the same every single time.
Yeah.
But then like a lot of times maybe you might not see them. Maybe have you run into that situation where people you are with in school, hanging out and having friends, like sometimes you don't actually see them after school too. You know what I mean? I've had plenty of people that all I've had is just see them in school. Especially in college. There'll be times I've met people in the classes and I'd see them in the classes, be all friendly, but like I'm never like, oh, let's go hang out afterwards. You just never think about it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with work. You're thrust into like a face-to-face situation and then like you don't, you know what I mean? I feel like it's, maybe it's all still the same. Because sometimes you
but
lose relationships.
But also in college, I mean, in actually college and high school, there are, like, special interest clubs, like art club or whatever, and, like, you do get to know, who the art kids are, or who the, you know, the drama kids are and stuff like that. Like, anything that you're into, you do know probably, like, at least five people that are really into the same subject as you are.
Yeah.
So that's cool, you know? Because also, like, even at work, like, how long are you going to keep talking about work, you know, like outside of work, you
well,
know?
That's the main thing that's also interesting because it's weird for me, I guess, in my profession, it's like this, it's our profession, filmmaking and film production.
But it's also life.
But it's also like that's our passion at the same time. So it's like after work, I think it's also because we've chosen this passion, we've chosen this job. So this is actually what we want to talk about all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, you need that break. But it's also like that love show that shows up there because it's like, well, if you want to. You know, maybe it's weird. I don't really see a lot of people being part of the film industry or film production or making movies and stuff like that if they didn't already love it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's one of those situations where I forgot. I lost my train of thought, but it's one. I think it's one of those situations where this type of job, you're always going to be talking about it. You know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
That's fine. And you but do what need I'm that getting break, at though. Is like you, I don't know. This might sound silly, but like true friends, you like can hang out and eat like a pizza with,
and
you
not
could,
talk about.
And you could go to a movie, or you could go to the mall, or you could go. Maybe this is such a teenage mentality, but it's like you can actually do activities with them and not have to always talk about a job or work.
It's weird. It's like, is that what it?
Like,
is that
it might
the question,
come up occasionally.
Is that
but,
the question to ask? Is that the question to ask? What is a true friend? A true friend doesn't really matter about the work that they do or the stuff that you give to the world, because they're going to be your friend no matter what, whether you're successful or not. Because like sometimes there's friends that you or some friends or acquaintances that you have that are probably just in a way fans. And like that's weird, because like what if you do something wrong? Then they're not your friend anymore. They won't have your back. So
well, I call those people are like acquaintances.
Yeah.
Like true friends are people that will hang out with you and do stuff with you and not...
whether you're a success or not.
Yeah, and you don't have to always be talking about work or, like, proving yourself and stuff like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, I feel like in high school you do have those opportunities where you can, like, just eat pizza and hang out and, like, watch a movie and, like, chill out on the couch and, you know, like... yeah. Be yourself and all that. But then I feel like as you get older and older, it's harder to find those friends. And like, you know, even when you look at older people than us, like two guys hanging out, like eating pizza, you know, like
that's why
it
that
never happens. But if it does, it's always like, oh, I've known him for 60 years.
That's why in a way it's crucial to have those moments in your life, to take a minute to like, because like I'm breaking down in math, because a lot of times, you know, me being a producer, you break things down in time and how much time it actually takes you to do certain things. And like it's funny when people say they don't have enough time to do something, when I'm budgeting people's times, or I'm like, okay, we're gonna shoot this time, and like I know for a fucking fact that an average meal is less than 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or less than that, you know, like 22 minutes, get food, eat 10-15 minutes of
well,
eating
if you're driving in traffic.
No, but you know what I'm saying, those things aren't considered.
Yeah.
But like the actual meal itself, Is that amount of time?
Let's just say 20 minutes.
So, yeah, it's an average 20 minutes. I've already known that. Even if it's a pizza, I'm like, well, it's really going to be 20 minutes of eating and then we're done. You know what I mean? So it's weird how, like, when people... maybe people don't realize that, like, it really doesn't take that much time to take the time to do something like that. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Unless it's, like, you're having a real, like, production meeting or a real meeting where you have to sit there in hours and talk everything through. Like, just to catch up. You know what I mean? To be like and eat a meal, it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes out of a 24-hour day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can take... that's why when I'm like... people are like, oh, you're so busy, I don't want to bother you. I'm like, well, I know... I'm like, I don't mind taking 30 minutes out of my day in morning or night, because like I'm not going to get that time back. I'm not going to get that time back, so I'd rather spend it, you know, like catching up or making progress or something. Maybe that's why I get pissed off. Or not pissed off, but when I'm taking 30 minutes just to bullshit... I don't want to bullshit. I'm not a bullshitter. I'm a freaking, I'm a confrontationalist. So it's sort of just like, I want to get down to it, all right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, just to take those 30 minutes is, I don't look at it as a lot of time, because I know what you can, I look at it as a lot of time, because you can do a lot of stuff in that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But maybe a lot of people don't realize that you can get a lot done in that time if you really just focus, and I don't know. But like me, I guess growing up and seeing and having to plan so many things, and you realize, really, it's only going to take us 15 minutes to get there, so might as well just do it.
Well, even, like, also people in the D.C. area, like, I know a couple people that live, like, 20 minutes away. They still are like, oh, I can't make it. You know, and I'm like, really? Because, like, I've driven so far to, like, meet people.
Yeah.
And they're just lazy. But then that makes you wonder, well, I guess they're not, like, they don't take your friendship as seriously.
Yeah, maybe that's the real case. Maybe they're not good hosts. You know what I mean? They're not willing to be the host, to be like to sacrifice some time for the sake of something. You know what I mean? The charity of life.
I mean, like on certain things, I understand if you're driving from like, I don't know, Maryland to Virginia, and I totally can understand some of it. But like, I don't know. I just feel like maybe people just aren't putting in effort to like have true friends. You know. Or maybe they never really were friends. Maybe there was some other method behind it.
There probably is always a motivation behind there. It's tough to measure true friends. Because I feel like sometimes you, when you you know, just like this is the end, the only way you know the true friends is if it's at the end of the world scenario, when like a shit comes down. Well, are you already in the hole, and is it going to kick you into the hole or not? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it, maybe it is like an apocalypse scenario. You will find out the true people when you, all of you, are the trouble scenario.
Yeah,
that's a lot of times. That's actually how I've measured like a true friend or not, is if they have your back, or like the small considerate things of like that they don't have, like when they don't really have to do something, they still do something for you, or and it's like and back and forth. And I, you know, maybe it might be harsh, but I take those notes in my head and I'd be like, well, that guy didn't really care about that anyway, so I'm not going to put, you know, try to, I don't know, not try, but you know, it's like you gather the coins and you see who
like
has,
like in Mario?
Yeah. And then you're like, well, this person's always been, you know, helping me out. I need to watch my back, or I need to watch his back too.
Yeah.
Where people are like willing to go to bat for you. That's what it is. But it really is. It's like it's the art of war situation. You're not going to know someone until it's wartime and this is the end and shit's going down.
That's true. Well, what about also,
which in the film world it's like a lot.
Yeah, it is like going to battle.
It is like every single shoot has always. That's why whenever I tell people how putting together a production, big, large, or small. It's like two things. It's a wedding and it's getting ready for war. Those are the two things. It's setting up a wedding, and then planning on it being a war.
It's
at the
like
wedding.
How I was talking about earlier with like putting on an event.
It's exactly what the
like
event, because you need your it exactly what it is, you know, that you need these elements, and you got to make, and then you got to be ready for when shit goes down. And
got to be ready
when shit goes down. That's how you know who's really in it. You know.
Well,
what
here's
mean?
Another thing I've heard a lot of people say in the past 2 years, like fake it to make it and stuff like that, or like. Work harder, not smarter.
Well, that's can I clarify those terms?
Sure.
Fake it to make it is actually really important in mine, and smarter, not harder, is another thing that I don't use fake it to make it as much, because I hate the word fake it. Fake. I'm not hate the word, but you know, I feel like I've run into.
Like
I don't like fakes, and work smarter, not harder, is actually quite genius. But fake it to make it is a really crucial thing, because also in a way, maybe for the people who don't realize you're faking it to make it, you know, it's different for them, but the person who's trying to fake it to make it, you can either be one thing. You can be a fraud and lie your way into it, into a scenario, and then like really like,
It'll come out eventually.
Or there's the other fake it to make it, where it makes it, from a different type of person, a different perspective, it forces that person who's faking it to make it to actually have to learn the craft as soon as possible. Like if someone's like, you know, and I've run into this many times on a set where someone's like, do you know how to use this? Or, you know what I mean? Do you know how to use this jib? Or do you know how to do this? And like, you know, you can't say, because in that type of world, if you don't know how to do something, then you sort of get passed over. You know what I mean? So if you say like, no, I don't know how to use that, then they'll go to someone else and they won't think of you later on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, well, the goal to keep on working in this world is to keep on, to be the one that is able to problem solve,
so
and make things happen.
So basically you always say yes.
You don't always say yes, but you should always solve the problem.
Yeah.
So
well,
yes.
You could be like, I don't know, but I can learn.
Don't say you don't know.
Well, okay.
Don't say.
You're the master.
Don't say. I think you should never say you don't know about something like that. But you can say as much as you can.
Show me how.
No, don't say show me how, because the person who just asked you doesn't know how to do it either. You know what I mean?
Or so, they might.
Or yes or no. But like at the end of the day, faking it to make it, in my experience, just go for it. Just do it. Just don't fuck up. You know what I mean? And be like, yeah, I've worked on that before. Hold on, let me double check real quick. You know what I mean? That's like this stuff like that. But just never say like, no, I don't know, and just walk away. Don't end the conversation. Fake it to make it, to me.
It's like improv.
Yeah, don't ever end it. Don't fake it to make it mean to me. Some people look at it as like a negative side, where it's like, oh, these fakes, you know, they're not really as big as they are. But on the other side, it's like fake it to make it. It's in a way saying like, you may not know how to do it, but you may not know, in the situation, you may not know how to do it, but don't tell them that you don't know how to do it, but learn super fast so you can figure it out then and there. So you faked it until you make it, but make it faster. Does that make sense? Fake it, but make it. Fake it until you make it, but make it faster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if you don't know how to use Photoshop CS3 and someone's like, learn that, take CS3. 10 minutes. CS3 or whatever.
Cloud?
Whatever. Any of those things. Any software. Someone's like, do you know how to do this software? And then you know it's on the line. You'll never know until you freaking try it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So just go for it. Just be like, you know what I mean? And just try it. You gotta have a go at it first. What's the other one? Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
That to me is an example of a genius line. Because, like, I feel like working smarter and not harder, in a way, is, it saves your back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's some people who will do things the hard way, I guess.
Isn't that you, though?
What, the hard way?
Yeah,
I was known for doing things the hard way. But I feel like I haven't reversed that, but I just sort of over-encapsulated things. But to me, work smarter, not harder, is, in a way, like, really thinking it through. In a way, saving the hard energy for stuff that really needs your to bust your ass.
Well, okay, then what about the type of people? Like, we were just talking about friendship, and there's, like, some people that don't want to drive 20 minutes for something or don't put in the full effort to, like, a true friendship, right?
Now, let's see. So work smarter, not harder.
What I'm getting at is that there are people out there that it seems like they're working the most minimal amount to get by.
But that's lazy. That's not working smarter or harder. That's being lazy.
But they're still a part of something.
Let's think of this.
But then they're like, you know, they're connected to whatever they want to halfway be connected to. But they don't actually do the work. Because, for example, even like I was cruising on LinkedIn about a month ago. And I noticed a person that I have met a couple times. Probably spent maybe like a total of 20 minutes of my life talking to this person. And I noticed on their LinkedIn that they're claiming something that pretty sure
they're lying,
full
right?
On. Yeah. Like they're saying that they're involved with something.
So they're faking it to make it, right?
They're saying they're involved with something, but yet they never come to any of those things. And I know I'm trying to be like cryptic here because I don't want to reveal any information. Not like it's that big a deal. I'm not going to like
But everyone knows a person like that who's claiming who's on the coattails of something without actually being representation.
But by being involved with it pretty much myself, I'm like, oh, so this person's claiming to be involved with it, but yet they never come to any of the meetings and they never do any of our projects or any of that. And I'm like, what? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how somebody can, like, put that down on their LinkedIn.
I absolutely do know how people can do that.
I mean, like, what do they think? They actually think they're a part of it? Or they're just... They're like, I'm loosely involved. I know someone that does this, so I'm just going to claim everything that she does as me.
But at the end of the day, it's like, how many people are going to check in this world?
No one, probably.
And that's the sad story, is that, like... Again, when you fake it to make it, when you do get to that, the only way for you to make it is you actually have to be able to deliver on what you say you did. But you won't make it if you don't. You know what I'm saying? People will realize real fast you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
In all aspect of the world, this one example is probably not going to do anything with any... You know, it's not going to go anywhere, so there's no use in, like, fretting about it. But it's one of those things that, like, I observe as a human. Like, I was a cartoonist, too. Like, we're observers. And, like, I'll observe and I'll just be like, huh, so... Okay, now you're a part of this. Okay, but I never see you. You know, like I don't even think you pay dues. You know, like I'm not, what? I'm like you're not even on our membership list. You know, like stuff like that. And I mean, it's gonna happen everywhere. Cause I even remember I was doing Kiets in high school, and I remember like I got upset one time cause this one chick like put down Kiets on
all of
her. What's
Kiets?
It's like the Key Club, but it was for women only. I don't think they exist anymore. Well, they do, like, charity work. You know, like, helping the homeless and stuff like that. Car washes and all that jazz. But yeah, like, basically helping people, like the Kiwanis Club. And, yeah, so I was pretty active in that. I was actually, like, vice president or secretary or some type of position. I can't remember what I was. Treasurer. No, I wasn't treasurer. Can't remember what I was, historian or something, I don't know. But like, you know, I was very active and I spent a lot of time doing that. And then to see someone else like put the same thing like basically on their resume or in college application, and I'm like, oh, so you're claiming to do the same amount of work as I did when you like didn't even show up?
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, irritating to me, and I learned that lesson in high school. I don't know, man. What do you got to say about those people, though?
They will be found out.
The world
at the end, at the end of the day, you still have to deliver, and after you deliver, that's when you're real represent.
And God
knows. the right people. But here's the thing: is like even this is something even like Simon Kim from House Studio DC and Treehouse. Like you, I got real pissed off at just people on set, like after I've lit the whole thing or we've lit the whole thing, and you know, and the talent's there, and then other people like their entourage would take photos and their photography people would take photos of it, and then on their Facebook page, on their webpage, they would take credit for all the imagery and how it looks. And everyone's like, "It looks dope, man! It looks really dope." And they're like, "Yeah, yeah," and they're taking full credit for the look. And I'm like, "Dude, you're completely just you're not supposed to take photos."
Hijacking
and then,
the set.
And then you fucking just one spoil the image of our shoot, and also you're taking credit for the way I light it. You didn't make any decisions on there except clicking a fucking button, and I know every shot that's going to happen, so I would already take credit for your shot because it's my set. But they would post it and take credit for it. Like, they made those color choices. They're the ones who planned it out. And everyone else, every other motherfucker out there is like, "Oh, man, you're the shit, man." And because they basically stole the image I've already created, you know? I was super pissed off about that. And I go to Simon. I was like, "Man, what the fuck these guys?" He's like, "Yeah, motherfuck those dudes." But you know the truth is, Joe? The right people know who did this. Right people know who are the ones put together. The people with the big money, they know. The right people, all the executives know that you're the one who set this up. So you don't have to worry about that. You know what I mean? And that's true. The people, if you're working with the right people and you deliver that, you're at a certain level, they already know that you're the one who did it.
The cream will rise to the top.
So
that's how it works.
And you know, and that's how it is.
All the frauds will be exposed.
Just keep on working your ass off and don't waste time. And you know, the equinox, things will equal out, so to speak.
But me, for like me being like, I don't know, man. I just, something in my heart like wouldn't be able to lie on things like that.
Well,
it irritates me that other people like, I guess, think that it's good enough, that they're cool enough to be like, "Oh, I'm lightly associated with this. I'll just add it on my resume."
It's equinox. You will eventually, unless you fake it to make it, but if you don't have those skills that you learned from doing the stuff, then you're not going to be able to make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to speak. You won't have the confidence, but you know, it's the world we live in. That's how it is. And no matter what, as long as we keep on making some sort of progress, we'll make it to a certain state. So.
Yeah. And also I've noticed like really, really successful people, like I'll, you know, cruise around on LinkedIn or something. It seems like they have less filled out.
Yeah, they do.
It's almost like they're all like, "Oh, I'm busy."
No, exactly.
You know, like it's like I'm the master of this thing.
This is tough for me.
And it doesn't have anything about it.
And this is tough for me to even say, and because I like really, you know, try to take care of my webpage and all that stuff too. But does Scorsese have a webpage? Does Spielberg have a webpage?
Does Johnny Depp do Twitter? That's what I always say. And so, it's like, no, he's too cool for Twitter. Doesn't even need it.
You know why? Because the right people already know.
Exactly.
And that's how it is. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's our show for this week. Thank you again for tuning in. This show is brought to you by Straight Productions. Check them out at straightproductions.com. Check out my work at joecarabeo.com. Also, check out new updates at goastray.tumblr. Also, don't forget to check out the one-shots.com for our new films, hopefully out every month. We're also always planning on new stuff, so if you want to take part in it, let me know. You can find me on Twitter at the Stray J, and also Joe Carabeo, Mr. J, just Joe Carabeo on Facebook, whatever you want to do. And also, don't forget to donate a bra, brasforgood.org. What do you got, Carolyn?
Check out Curls, my comic strip, at curls-studio.com. And you can check out the blog and all these links to everything else. It's pretty amazing. Curls Studio, taking over the world one day at a time.
That's right. That's right. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Don't forget to check out the show every week. CarolynandJoeShow.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, wherever you can find it. We're here to put the show on for you, so let us know.
In it to win it.
In it to win it. That's right. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Catch you all later. Be true, be excellent, have fun.